Good morning, folks.
Welcome Stronger Together at El Dorado High School. This is my high school shirt. Yeah. I didn't go to El Dorado. Hello, my friends. Happy after Thanksgiving Day.
Happy post Thanksgiving. We had a great Thanksgiving.
We did.
Everyone who was with us yesterday, Andy did not burn the turkey. Fantastic. It was absolutely wonderful. It was moist.
Oh my gosh, it was so moist.
Was it? Oh, I didn't eat that much because it was cold. You know me and the cold food. So I had a little piece.
Yeah. Warm food is cold with you. So yeah. I knew that was going to be cold.
Yeah.
Which happens in Thanksgiving because you.
Thanksgiving is always cold.
You chat and you talk and you pray and you tell.
And you try to time things the right way and it's hard. Yeah. Yeah. So it wasn't tasted good.
It was good. The OC green beans.
How were those?
Amazing.
Were they good?
Yes, they were amazing.
Oh, I'm so glad.
Yes, yes, yes. How was your Thanksgiving? Let us know in the chat.
Yes.
How your Thanksgiving was. If you had anything special happen that maybe didn't normally happen. We did the five pieces of corn and talked about that. How did I do?
You did great.
What?
Yes, fantastic.
I was a little nervous talking about the five pieces of corn. If you don't know what that is, watch last Sunday's service at Calvary Chapel, Chula Hills. It's an amazing story of how the pilgrims survived on five kernels of corn for a couple months, I think it was.
Yes.
Each. Not everybody survived, though.
Not everybody survived.
Some people did pass. All right, we're reading from Smith Wigglesworth devotional. Right here. I ain't doing it. I'm not going to do it. That's the book that we're reading from. Smith Wigglesworth devotional. Hey, Danielle, how you doing? Good.
I'm terrible at timing food to be warm all at the same time. Thanksgiving was really good.
Yes.
Oh, I'm so glad to hear it. Yeah, I am obsessed with the timing of the food. And so, like, I will burn some things just because I don't want them to get cold and come out of the oven. It's like a whole process.
Because you start, I mean, I started at 7. And so you're starting, like, at 7 o'clock in the morning and try timing everything to serve it at 5.
Right.
Like, that doesn't happen in any other meal preparation ever.
No.
And trying to make sure, like, do we pull this out of the refrigerator now? Should we put it back in the refrigerator? Should we do what with it? It's and then people are coming in, which is fantastic. We had some.
And and they come in early and they sit around. They're like, what can we do? And you're like, nothing but distract me right now because I've got 60 dishes to put on this table.
You know what's funny is that we had guests over that we've never had over before.
Right.
We had just met them at church on Sunday. And so invited them over. They're from Oregon. And you always wonder, you know, there's a little bit, I'm this way, that I hope they're not annoying. I mean, they seem okay at church.
For 15 minutes.
And then they're annoying and you go, oh, and then I go, Hedy, this was your idea. Like, why did you have these people over?
Holy Spirit never lies.
Some people bring over a guitar and then they want to play the guitar. You ever had that at a party in high school? Somebody pulls out, Charlie's not pulling out the guitar, is he?
We don't pull out guitars.
Yeah, we always had somebody. But anyway, yeah, there was that.
But we did have a guest that pulled out a guitar.
Yeah, but he's an artist and he knew. Yeah. But I should have probably said that one.
Yeah.
But they weren't annoying.
No.
They were amazing.
They were
we had
beautiful.
Some amazing discussions. We had amazing discussions along with
Melinda and Jeff.
Jeff. Gosh, I wanted to call Steve for some reason. Bobby, the wife.
Yes.
And Steve. No, Jeff. Sorry. I don't know what I'm at.
I don't know who you're talking about.
I must have hit my head last night. Jeff, we all had a fantastic discussion about Jesus, about being filled with the Holy Spirit and his walk. We had a very nice talk.
Oh, I'm so glad to hear that.
It was so good. I really enjoyed it. Got to give my testimony. That's when I came in. I said, I've been talking about you.
Oh,
so
in the kitchen cleaning.
While they all
chit-chatted.
Yes, really. I know this isn't necessarily part of the devotional, but I just the discussion is similar to what I had with Alexa, is that everybody always wants to, not always wants to, often,
Wings.
When somebody's talking about their faith, they talk about
the church,
how somebody else, the church, or whatever.
Family, or,
because Melinda's not Christian.
Yeah.
And so that always comes up, it gave me my opportunity. It seems to be my thing right now.
Your jam.
It's about the relationship between you and Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And if he's going to change anybody around you, whether it's his, their daughter or his wife, that's that's up to
his
God.
Job. And if he doesn't, that's yes. okay too.
Yeah, you can go to church. You can go and spend time with God. You can read the devotional. You can read the Bible. You can share with your family what you're learning. And that's between you and him. It's that's always that. Well, you know, my wife or, yeah, you know, the church. No.
Yeah.
It's no. What is your relationship with him? How is he speaking to you? And so we're going to talk about God talking to you right now.
There you go.
And Smith Wigglesworth, November 26th. For us, it happens to be the day after Thanksgiving. And it's entitled The Holy Spirit versus Deceptive Voices, which you brought up yesterday. Did you skip ahead? Did you
know?
The reference is 1 John 4:2-3. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. The scripture reading for today is 1 John 4:1-6. A lot of people are troubled by voices. Some are so troubled that they become very distressed. Some people take it as a great thing. They think it is very remarkable and they go astray. Lots of people go astray by foolish prophecy, and many are foolish enough to believe that they have tongues and interpretations and that they can be told what they should do. This altogether outside the plan of God and bordering on blasphemy. I do not preach my own ideas. That is, I never tell you what I think because everybody can think. I tell you what I know. Therefore, what you need to do is listen to what I know so that you may learn it. Then you can tell others what you have learned so that they will also, so they will learn also. How can I dislodge the power of Satan? Mm. How can I deal with satanic power? How may I know whether a voice is of God or not? And there is not voices that come from God?
Are yes. there not voice?
Yeah. Oh, are there not voices that come from God? Yes, I am here believing that I am in the right place to build you on the authority of the word of God. You know that a business executive is one who has a right to declare everything for the board of directors. And the chief executive of the world is the Holy Spirit. He is here today as a communication to our hearts and to our minds. Into our thoughts and what God wants us to know. So this holy executive who is in us can speak wonderful words. Mm. I am dealing now with what you may know when you are fully in the Spirit. The Spirit will teach you. We will bring to your remembrance all things. Yes. Now you do not need any man to teach you, but the anointing remains. This is the office of the Holy Spirit. This is the power of his communication. This is what John meant when he said, God is love. Jesus, who is grace, is with you. But the Holy Spirit is the speaker, and he speaks everything concerning Jesus. There may be people who have been hearing voices, and it has put them in situations that have caused tremendous issues in their lives, brought a great amount of distress and brokenheartedness, and led them into confusion and trouble. Why? They did not know how to judge the voices. If a voice comes and and tells you what to do, if a person comes and says he has a special prophecy that God has given him for you, you have as much right to ask God for that prophecy as they had to give it to you. And you have as much right to judge that prophecy according to the word of God. You need to do this, for there are people going about pretending to be tremendous people, and they are sending people nearly off their wits' end because they believe they're damnable prophecies. Which never are of God, but are of the devil.
Yes.
I felt very moved at that moment. I am very severe on this thing. God won't let me rest. I have to deal with these things because I find people everywhere in a terrible state because of these voices. How will we get to know the difference between the voice of God and the voice of Satan? The scripture tells us, and it then says in parentheses, see 1 John 4:2-3.
Which is the first verses we read.
Which is the very first verse. You do for the thought for today, you do not need teachers, but you need the teacher who is the Holy Spirit to bring all things to your remembrance. Just really quick, I'm going to read it one more time. The 1 John 4:2-3 says, by this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus has come in the flesh is not of God.
Amen.
Why did you have such a Like a big deep breath.
Sorry, I'm suddenly having eye issues. So if I look distracted, that's it. Because I lived
the voices. It was during the moment I was.
Well, because I lived 20 years of my life under the command of demonic voices. You know, people telling me this, that, and the other. Your life is meant to do this. You're supposed to do that. And I mean, I really believe I was under a demonic possession for decades. And so anytime.
I believe it because I know you and you tell me what happened and I go, that's two different people.
Right. It's just, and you saw it, you got a glimpse of it that day at the funeral, at the reception. And you're like, who is that little girl? You know, like, and that was the one that was just controlled. And it's so, because this person that you see now was still there, but that's, I think the very scary thing about a demonic possession is that it could take even a person that is seemingly strong or has certain qualities and it can control them. And so what I think is so important that Wigglesworth is which is the most fabulous part, is that God speaks directly to you through the Holy Spirit. You do not need an intermediary. And so as soon as I start hearing, like, I won't listen to people send me all kinds of people that are like claiming that they're prophetic in some way and they're telling the future and stuff. And I have this visceral negative reaction to them. I know some of them may be telling the truth, but to me, I think the importance of that the Lord may tell certain people certain things about themselves for themselves, the Holy Spirit does. And I understand that he tells some people some prophecy that is for the world, but it better line up with scripture. You know, it must be something connected to the word of God or it's a damnable heresy.
Right.
I don't know. I'm sorry. I'm just overwhelmed by emotions at this whole thing because it's got so much of my walk with Christ in it and how bad intermediaries can be for people. It's very distressing for me.
I do love that the sentence here where it says you need to do this, for there are people going about pretending to be tremendous people and they are sending people nearly off their wits' end because they believe their damnable prophecies, which never are of God, but are of
the yes.
God. So important.
And all those prosperity preachers who tell people, I tell the Lord is telling me to tell you, you need to give away half your wealth, you know, and then they're riding in leader jets. And it's just it upsets me that people, for I have gone through it myself, that when you, but that was in Islam, you know, for people who are following Christ to have to go through that is very tragic to me because you are offered the Holy Spirit. And if you accept him in your heart with true conviction, you don't need somebody else to tell you, I think you need to give away half your wealth.
Right. I wonder if there's, let me tell you, I do, I'm trying to figure out how to tell the story without giving away who it is. So a church that I have been to, where I've gotten to know a pastor years ago, 10, 15 years ago, I'd be in the same room with them or doing something together. And it was this guy that I did not trust. And he was walking around all that.
The person who was the speaker or somebody else?
He's the pastor.
Okay, he was pastor.
He's the head pastor, like the lead pastor.
Oh, I have feelings like
that. And walking around and this happened to me a couple of times, two different churches. And it just didn't feel right. But yeah, I liked the church. I liked the people that I was surrounded with. I liked the other speakers at the church. And I just didn't, I saw him once in a room at an event we were at that he had to do something and stuff. And he sat in a chair almost in a way like I'm kind of a king. And I got this really weird feeling. And right. It reminds me of that thing that the
yes.
people that feel like.
Yes. And people ignore those voices.
Yes. But one of the pastors, this isn't the one I'm talking about, he never changed. And so I left the church. And I'm not being very cryptic because I've told the stories of the churches I've been to. But the pastor that I'm talking about where I felt like it's.
Yeah, it doesn't, creepy.
He's so different now.
Oh, in a good way or bad?
Yeah, no, amazing.
Oh.
Yeah, like a really like very warm.
Oh, like, so maybe he had a come and Jesus moment. Now.
Yeah, I'm wondering if that happens where the possession or the devil got into his ego a little bit, his flesh a little bit, and thought, here I am, a young pastor of this huge church that has years of history, that he got full of himself, and then maybe something happened that, and I know something that did happen, but I wonder if that's
sure.
The devil could be chased out by an event. Does it have to be chased out by somebody else, like devil?
Well, let's put it this way. Okay. First of all, if it is who I think it is, we have to make a difference. And I can't remember who we were listening to that said this, but it's brilliant because there's a difference between somebody who gets possessed and doesn't have the Holy Spirit versus a backslidden Christian. Mm-hmm. So sometimes Christians get backslidden by one thing or another, whether it's through lust, it's lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, or the cares of this world. Desires of this world. So sometimes lust of the world can make people into a backslidden Christian where they have the Holy Spirit, but they kind of step away from Christ. And oftentimes it is Christ that'll bring you back to your knees, mm-hmm. the Holy Spirit that'll bring you back to your knees by sending challenges because he loves you. Mm-hmm. He loves us and he's pursuing us. And he doesn't want us to be far away from the church. And remember how Pastor Jack always says, you could be a backslidden Christian, but you're going to have a miserable time at it. You're gonna try to enjoy yourself, and he's gonna, make sure that you are wrecked.
For sure.
So, I think that there's a difference between that and people that are truly wishing evil and doing evil on people. Mm-hmm. That are purposely misleading them. They speak in tongues over them. You're possessed by a devil. Give me $1,000. I'm gonna try to remove it from you. And you have this, and you have that. I, as you know, have a friend that I'm very concerned about, or an acquaintance that the problem is the voice is in their own head. So it's not an external third person, but it's discerning the spirit of the Holy Spirit versus your flesh in your own body. Because that one's wrecked me a couple times too. So I've been like, I thought it was of God and it was of me, and the Lord's like, really? Did you really think that was me? Or was that like wishful thinking? So it's testing the spirit that's in your own heart and mind is extremely important.
Right. There's again, the period of time in my life where I was agnostic, or I thought I was, I don't know. Now I don't even know. I just think it was the path that God had me on.
Yes.
I tried this way.
A curious traveler.
Let's see how far you get when you're this way. So I know that the Holy Spirit has always been around me, because there's been these moments where, and not everybody does this, but I'm thankful that God did allow me to have these moments where there were some things happening in my life that, like, where I wanted to blame everybody else, which I jump on everybody else about, look at yourself first. But there were moments where I wasn't doing that. And then all of a sudden I would catch myself, like the Holy Spirit, even in the times when I wasn't walking in a church or, in the Bible, the Holy Spirit would say, you may want to go stand in front of a mirror and look and see
yes.
if there's a plank in your eye.
Yeah.
And almost always, and probably always, but I just can't think of any all the times that this happened, where there was something I needed to change, the way I was speaking. I'm supposed to be successful. I'm supposed to be this. And how come nobody's listening to me? I know these things.
All right.
Nobody wants to follow me. And then I'd get disciplined for something because I would step out of the box, or step, in the police department, if you step out of rank, essentially, if you don't ask a sergeant first and then have the sergeant ask the lieutenant, have the lieutenant ask the captain, and the captain ask the chief. If you, as a patrolman, say, I'm going to make this decision, is really one that should come from the top, then you could lose your job.
And
there were moments I thought I was so, I know way more than these people know.
And those have been, and even if you do, the point about order, what I mean? Like that is, police departments, it's like a paramilitary, it's about discipline and order. Mm-hmm. And I tell the same thing to my daughter when she asks me about, like, why do I have to do it this way? And like, because there are rules. And you teach human beings from a very young age to follow rules, because then when they grow up, it becomes easier for them to walk with the Lord too, because though we're not judged by the rules, that's how we're able to be obedient. That's That's the way I look at it.
Well, it's that chain of command is so important.
Yes.
And the chain of command is brought up here. And that's kind of the thing that we have to go to the chief.
Yes.
And make sure we're listening and not listening to ourselves. I mean, and so this one paragraph here says, you know that a business executive is one who has a right to declare everything for the board of directors. And the chief executive of the world is the Holy Spirit. He is here today as a communication to our hearts, to our minds, and to our thoughts of what God wants us to know. Sorry. So this holy executive who is in us can speak wonderful words.
Amen.
And I think those are those moments where I was told, okay, stop what you're doing. It's not everybody else's fault. You were listening to your voice and not listening to the Holy Spirit. And it took me, 40 years, 30 years of this kind of shenanigans before I started listening to the chief executive officer of the world. So darn important.
So important.
But he was preparing me that not everything is in my control. And I thought it was for so many years. That was the top. I was a chief executive.
Wow.
I'm not. I'm still struggling with it. This is so good. This is so full of just really good. You could write a curriculum for men. Sorry, but for men, because uh-huh. we tend to be
sure.
held to be accountable for the family and that kind of stuff.
Absolutely,
I think it's a really good talk. Taking much of this devotional and
so good, isn't it?
And using it to go to prayer before you. And, you know, we don't do this enough. I mean, we can have discussions that are going to be difficult and go to prayer first and ask for guidance from the chief executive.
Yes.
To making decisions for the family, to deciding on, you know, all kinds of different things that the family may be going through.
Absolutely.
And that's the thing that I did not run any of my businesses by ever. That John MacArthur book I talk about all the time, you know, on leadership was found way too late.
He says not to make decisions without going to Lord first. Yeah,
I should have had that book because I would have taught me, like, you go to the chief executive. Like, what are you doing? You're running everything as from your perspective, from your thoughts, from your desires, from what you think is right and wrong. It'll never survive.
Yes.
Your business. Now, in some men, maybe it does pretty well, right? Because we know plenty of atheists that become successful businessmen. But are they truly successful in everything? There was no way I was going to be able to do that without God.
Amen.
Well, I hope we stayed on task. I hope that all stayed on task. Where did my mouse go? Where? Hello, where'd you go? There it is. Happy Thanksgiving to Priscilla. Nice to see you.
Yes.
She's got a little turkey there on her picture. How cute is that?
Very cute.
And I like that Priscilla uses y'all a lot. And I don't believe that she's from Texas, is she?
No.
She's from Bakersfield, which is kind of the Texas of California.
Yes, true. True, it is.
All right, let's get the scripture real quick. John 4, 1 through 6.
Beloved, do not believe every spirit. There it is right there. But test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone into the world. And by this, you know, the spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus has come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are of the world. Therefore, they speak as the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. But by this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. I mean, it's so profound when you think of it. He who knows God hears us. And the us, it's the heavenly we, us, yep. God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. And he who is not cannot hear us. That's the miracle of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That you get to hear the we. John 14, 26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Again, he will teach you all things. 1 John 2:27, but the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true and is not a lie, and just as it is taught to you, you will abide in him. Okay, so this is an interesting scripture because, so my philosophy of like my Christian walk has been, I don't go to pastors or intermediaries or whoever to talk about my personal life. Like I'll ask for a blessing or whatever it may be, or like prayer, but I no longer will allow somebody, now that I have the Holy Spirit, I'll fumble along with the Holy Spirit until I figure it out. But I do love Bible teachers. You know, I'm a new Christian and I love exegesis on the Bible. So I will go to somebody with the scripture. I love listening. I'll listen to dozens and dozens of sermons. I love hearing all of the different perspectives on a particular verse. Mm-hmm. And of course, I love our own pastor who is, you know, a traditional Bible teacher going from verse to verse, book to book. But this verse is... So I know some people, and I'm going to be a little bit cryptic, who won't even allow somebody to teach them the Bible. Mm. That in this, they say, basically, I only learn what I want from the word and the way the Lord is teaching it to me. And I always wondered about that. Like, why are they so, they're like, you know, everybody gets it wrong. Everybody gets it wrong. And I just wait until I hear it from the Lord in prayer. And I think sometimes that leads to some wonky conclusions, because if you don't have a formal education, then you're making interpretations of scripture that don't align to thousands of years of scholarly exegesis. But
because then it will allow what I'm asking, what Wigglesworth says, I do not preach my own ideas.
Exactly.
That is, I never tell you what I think, because everybody can think.
But most pastors speak with that authoritative voice. Mm-hmm. They'll say, I know this. I know this is the way the scripture is interpreted. And there's more than one interpretation. Yeah. So,
well, we found that in some of the times we go do research, we'll find like different, what was it? The
angels.
Yeah. The angels.
The on Revelation 19:10. Yeah, it's stuck in my head now. I'm forever meditating on that scripture.
As one example. And sometimes we just don't know, and you can't plug in those places where we don't know your self, your thoughts, your what you think, because we just don't know. And I love it when Jack says he doesn't know, I go, oh my gosh, how does he not know? He knows everything.
Well, I mean, the Apostle Paul said the Bible is a great mystery.
Yeah.
So we can't remove all of the mystery.
Wow, this is a really good one. We got to save this in the archives. I don't know how we're doing on the broadcast, but it's just causing so much thought and so much reflection on my walk. Past.
Yes.
And that's what I love about these devotionals. It's just so good. And I had one other amazing thing to bring to the attention of the audience, and now I can't remember what it was.
That amazing.
Probably was not that amazing. This just now coming as I'm reading it, is this is the power of his communication. This is what John meant when he said, God is love. Now, in this thing, what do you think he means?
Oh, that he will teach you anything you need to know. Like, he won't leave you in the dark. He doesn't leave you or forsake you. He has plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Like, he won't leave you confused and chaotic if you turn to him. I find chaos ensues when I turn to other people. When I question, if the Lord is silent, he's silent for a reason. Once you learn to be in communication with the Holy Spirit, if he is silent, then it's for a reason, either because you are not at a place where you could hear it, or he's challenging you to continue walking and persevering without getting a word from him. But when you take that silence and go to people and be like, I need the Lord to speak to me about this. What do you think? Oh, Lord. Then you have like a gazillion opinions that are now stuck in your head, and yeah. The chaos gets even worse,
right?
Than just abiding in the peace of the silence and waiting until you get an answer.
I think really, you know, looking at it as we often do, as a parent to a child, you know, a good parent, you know, that God is love. A good parent shows love to their child by communicating with them, teaching everything it is they need to know, but yes. then also allowing them to make mistakes.
Yes.
To some extent. Like when they're...
The lessons learned are sometimes more profound when you make the mistake yourself.
It's like learning to walk.
Yeah.
When you fall, that teaches you how to walk.
Like, I don't want to do that again.
Oh, yeah, that hurt.
That hurt.
Walk into a table.
Yes.
Table corner.
The corners hurt. Ow.
But sometimes you think, they let me do that. Well, you know, you gotta... Things that teach you.
Oh yeah.
The pain is a powerful.
The pain of Christian dating taught me a lot. For all the single ladies out there, I'm praying for you.
We had some good discussions on that about the timing of God and Bobby and Dave's discussion about how they met.
Yes.
It was really interesting. Wasn't expecting. Did you know that ahead of time?
No, I did not.
Sorry, we're telling you a story that I don't know if they would share it, but. He was married and he had a wife who passed.
Yes.
And then they met afterwards.
He was a widow.
But what she talks about of his wife is awesome. She was an amazing woman.
Oh.
And a very lovely woman. I mean, fantastic. Bobby talks very highly of her.
Oh, that's beautiful. And,
but then the struggle of moving into the home where...
he raised his kids. Is that like his family home?
I can imagine that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. That's a tough one.
Yeah.
Yeah. We had to get rid of both our houses. We didn't want any of the demons from the old houses.
And interestingly enough, folks, Andy breaks a lot of stuff that he wanted to bring over. And he just like, poosh, yesterday was like, my favorite bowl. And I was like, okay. And then next up, the cup. And I was like, okay, sorry.
My favorite glass.
Yeah. What'd you drink in that glass? Yeah. Went by the wayside, folks.
That was so funny. I was thinking the same thing, but I didn't want to say anything because I didn't want you to take
advantage of the moment.
Yeah. It's so funny. So what, out of all the utensils that I lifted and carried and moved and did stuff with, the two things that broke were from the old house.
Yes.
Isn't that funny?
Not at all. I knew exactly why. The Lord's like... Because I struggle with literally taking every box of things that he brings and throwing it in the trash.
So is that where they're going?
I just leave it in the garage for a little while. And then the Lord, but this bowl made it into the house. And the Lord's like, don't worry, I got you, sister.
It was a useful
bowl. And broke it.
What?
I don't know. I'm a little wonky about certain things. Like, wow. I just feel like.
How much of my stuff is thrown away? Oh my gosh.
Just a little.
I love memorabilia.
Yeah.
Danielle says that she agrees with you.
Oh, sometimes you miss the interpretation of the passage if you don't know the history behind it or even understanding what the words mean in the original language. Yes. So some people think, you know, they've got all of this knowledge from, you know, self-study, but to a certain extent, I don't think you could ever, if you don't go to Bible school and you haven't been a preacher for 20 years, I don't see how you can learn some of the historical context of the scripture, the language context of some of the scripture without listening to
absolutely
Bible scholars.
Priscilla obviously thinks that you're very funny and throwing away my stuff. Thanks
a
lot,
Priscilla. He literally brought over old spices that had already hardened inside the spice container.
Okay, that does it.
And I'm sorry, but me and literally all the girls in this house, his daughter and my daughter, are like, what is it with him in this move? Like, he's literally going through every single thing in that house and being like, okay, you come, you go, you go. Like,
you have to make a decision.
Who does that?
Me.
Everybody throws everything in a box and deals with it later. And then when you're missing something, then you're like, oh, I got to go through those boxes.
Something comes to the new house. Some things go to donation. Some things are sold.
It's been 3
some
months.
Some things are thrown away. There's 4 boxes.
It's been 3 months.
Bins.
He's been moving for 3 months, folks.
You guys exaggerate. Literally. Zara said I've been moving for 4 months last year. I have not been missing for 4 months. Or moving for 4 months. It's been like 4 weeks. No.
Oh my goodness.
The spices... Whatever, I look at the date and they haven't expired yet. You just got to hit them on the table and it
I literally threw everyone out. The only one I kept was some funky Mexican spice that I didn't know what it was. So I was like, maybe he got this from somewhere important, so I'll keep it. I'm glad you're giggling.
Oh my gosh. And then I brought some wall decorations. I said, how if we, and I don't even finish the sentence. No. And what do you mean? No. That's we hang our keys on it. It says welcome.
I wish you all could be here right now, because we saw our guests last night were like, you have such a beautiful home. And I was like, yes. And Andy wants to turn it into a trailer. And I am fighting tooth and nail to not turn our home into a trailer park. It's just, he has all of these little knicky-knacky things that are plastic and ceramic and like this welcome with a hook on it. And he's like, can I put this by the front door? And I was like, what? By the front door? I was like, oh, no, honey, you can't hang that next to the front door.
Hang your keys.
Not on that wall next to my antique mirror. He wants to hang a little thing with a, I love you so
How
much.
How many men have looked in that mirror besides me?
That is not relevant at all. But I'm not hanging some ghetto coat hanger thing underneath it.
I can't even believe that. Gosh,
that little dog thing you have with that's on the fireplace.
The what?
The little tchotchka.
That's a police officer pointing danger. It's a little ceramic police officer.
Yeah. How long you had that thing?
Since. Oh my God.
Jesus, Tim is even on.
I got all my canine ones, the dog, the police dog ones.
They're beautiful. we miss you, Timmy.
I need my own office. I want my own office.
Yes, you're welcome to take one of the kids' rooms.
I'm going to put a shelf somewhere. I'm going to bring them on to the next show, and I'm going to show the people. The podcasters are going to
have to. You shall decide. You shall decide.
You keep
folks.
Talking. Let me show them.
You want to get your little officer? Yeah, see, talking. I know he's trying to hold on to things that are part of his identity, but I mean, some things you got to, the old has gone and the new has come. Who agrees with him? Give him a man cave. I would, Priscilla, really love to give him a man cave, but he has so many kids, they take up all the bedrooms. So that's.
Sorry, podcasters.
Yes.
You know, my police dog saved my life, right?
Yes. But that's not Falco. It's just like it's just a dog.
Look at, he's pointing at the dog. And he goes, look at down there.
Yeah.
Go get him. Go get him, Falco. Go get him, Legend.
I mean,
Legend is, no, that's not a good one. What is wrong with that? It's on a wood pedestal.
I totally get that some people like tchotchkes, but I just am like, I'm a minimalist. I just don't like little tchotchkes all over the house.
He's got his hand around his dog. My dog would be in my police car.
Tell me honestly, where did that come from?
I don't remember. Somebody gave it to me as a gift.
Somebody gave it to you?
Not a woman.
Okay. See all that?
Dust. Well, we can dust it.
Okay.
I'm going to put it right here so everybody can enjoy it on future podcasts, right in front of the American flag. You don't want it on the
mantle?
That thing? It's going right here. Orale. Come on.
Thank you, folks.
Right, Priscilla. Give him a man. Oh, yeah. Give me a man cave.
I told her. I said, you've got so many kids, they took up all the bedrooms. You can share one of them.
I'm gonna kick those kids out.
You've got four rooms dedicated. You can take any one of them.
Is this the Holy Spirit speaking through you right now, or is this your flesh?
I think it's a combination.
You should read the devotional. You want me to read it to you?
It's a combination. But as a spouse.
You need to pray on this. Can Andy have his chotskas?
Otherwise, they would all be in the trash. The Holy Spirit, trust me when I tell you, the Holy Spirit is the one that tells me to look at a box and be like, honey, daughter, leave that alone. Leave the box. Yeah, I want it so bad. Every time I walk through the garage, he's like,
there's some good stuff in there.
Calm, be patient, leave the box. And I keep walking. He is definitely your advocate. Daniel's laughing.
All right. I'm gonna tape those boxes up so you can't see.
You better hide them quick.
You should see what's in the storage unit.
Oh Lord!
I've moved the stuff that I thought for sure would go to the.
Can you imagine what that looks like?
I did know she was throwing some stuff away. So you know what?
This is not safe here. This is not safe.
And then we opened up. I found Courtney, my oldest daughter, 26. She's 27 now. And I found her baby album where her belly button, you know, where you.
It is pretty cool.
And hair is.
It's very extensive. It's got ultrasound pictures from like three different ultrasounds. It was.
Of course, the first page.
It's a monument.
The first page I turned to is the wedding of my ex and me.
Yes. It's very. Which he brings out to all of our Thanksgiving guests.
I didn't even see that the first time I opened it.
Oh my gosh.
Oh well.
It's nice.
It was a nice wedding. It was a horrible marriage. It was like,
I have a positive. I'm such a good new wife.
It's a good thing my turkey didn't burn, or else that would have been.
Yes.
And you would have burned.
You would have been in trouble.
We would have had a book
for burning. Sure.
Well, I gave it to Courtney and says, I want you to take it.
Absolutely. I took it the same way she did when my mom did it. Yeah. Wow. When my mom handed me my baby shoes, I was thoroughly offended.
Well, I mean, there's a certain age. I mean, you know, she's 27 now.
My mom handed it to me when I was 48 and I still got offended.
Really?
Yeah. I was like, you don't want my baby shoes anymore?
I just didn't want to get lost in all the stuff. I wanted her to be able to take care of it and keep it.
That's my mom's rationale. So it was perfectly logical.
I was there when she was a baby. I was there. She was too young to see those things and to remember. The memory book is for her.
That's what my mom told me.
And it offended you?
It did.
What about you guys? Did you guys have your baby books or did you?
Let's see Danielle, because I know she's very close to her mom. Did your mom hand you all your baby stuff? Because if your mom did it, then we're all safe. Then that's a normal mom thing to do. Mm. I just thought my mom was just wanted to declutter. But yours, I think it was a good idea because there is stuff moving all over the place.
There's a lot of them.
And that book was really cool. Like, that's something you'd want to show your kid. So I agree.
The ones for the other kids too. A couple of those are the ones that went to the storage unit because they're too young and they become adults. Then I will give it.
You should have had a couple boxes that are kids stuff. Mm-hmm. Did you? And did you mark them?
Yeah.
For the storage? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what my mom did. That's how she was able to whip all that stuff out. And interestingly enough, my daughter, when she was going through the pictures for the funeral for my dad, pulled out a bunch of my first wedding pictures. And I was like, why'd you grab these? She's like, because your dress is awesome.
Yeah. My dress was awesome. So. And I saw those. You showed those to me.
Yes. Well, because your exes are everywhere. At least you should let you show one of mine.
Danielle says.
See, that's... See, Danielle's mom still has some of her stuff. My mom still has some of my baby stuff, and she knew not to give them to me. I'd lose them. See that?
All right, then.
Yeah.
I thought I was doing the right thing. I'll go take it back. I'll steal it. Give me that back.
Well,
I've been shamed. I was shamed in front of millions of people on the internet.
Well, but that's what I'm telling you, is that I think that some people, like Priscilla, did you give your kids stuff back? I think for some you do. Because of that exact thing is that you don't want, like, my problem with Zara is I definitely wouldn't give it to her. She's way too young, but she keeps taking it. And I keep telling her, if you keep taking this stuff, you're going to lose it. You know, so she's got the sweetest little baby album, but she takes it and she asked me for it last night when everybody was pulling out pictures. She's like, where's my baby album? I was like, I don't know. Yeah.
You have it and you lost it.
Yep.
That's why I waited. I've carried it around from house to house. Oh, what a great discussion. I don't know if this has anything to do with the devotion.
No.
You brought it up and you wanted me to bring out a little statuette that you almost threw away.
listening to the Holy Spirit, the discerner.
You haven't seen all my hockey card collection, have you? My boxes, there's like 10 of them.
That went to storage, I presume.
And basketball and baseball. I bet you it's worth some money. I have people's rookie cards.
That's awesome.
That are worth thousands of dollars.
Can we sign off now?
No, I want to talk about more boxes that I have in my storage unit. Yes, because the boys are getting very impatient. They gave me a look when I went out there. They want to go to the skate park again. So we have to go to the skate park. All right, my friends, you have a great...
And Priscilla has all the baby stuff, by the way. Oh.
What? All right. I thought I was doing the right thing. That's man. That's
you know what? I was 48 and so I still got offended. But I think for Courtney, it's because she doesn't have a home yet. She's still kind of young and moving. And, you know, I think once she were to settle down and have a family and then he's like, here's your baby book, then she'd appreciate it, you know, passing it on. But at this point, she's just like an older version of these four. So she's just kind of like, hey, why don't you you don't want my baby book? Like, what, you keep the other four and you're giving mine back?
Oh, really quick. I'm doing just one more thing. I won't take it. We'll talk. We'll bring it up in the next one. Is that so the Thanksgiving for me, and I think a number of people, was probably the first Thanksgiving with no alcohol that I've ever had. And it got brought up last night when you were in the kitchen.
Oh, yeah, what did they say?
They're just saying, you don't need it.
Oh, I'm so glad.
Yeah. It was a good discussion. Oh, but it was very nice to be present with everybody.
Yes.
And it had to do with, oh my gosh, I wish I could think of the word, but just basically being present, being of you know, a clear mind.
A clear mind.
Yes.
Amen.
Through the entire thing. Like, you start with a clear mind when you pray, and after you pray, it all goes away. Like, dear God, we love you. Thank you so much. Amen. All right. Open the wine. Where's the wine?
Well, and I got to tell you what I dislike the most is I watch people start ripping into each other.
Yes. Well, that's my history. That's why I hate holidays.
Yeah. You did it to me. You did it to me the other night at dinner too.
What?
You started telling the therapist story.
Oh.
And I was just like, you always see couples do this because when you don't have all your faculties around you, then they're like, yeah, remember when last week? And you're just like, oh, don't you dare. Don't you go there, you know? And it's like, and before you know it, everybody leaves pissed off.
Yeah, everything. That's
happened. Yeah.
Yeah, happened with my family. So that was plenty of therapy needed for those moments.
Yeah. I think that's why most people have a negative memory of holidays.
Oh, yeah. I hate them. It started when I was very young, the martinis.
Yeah, oh.
Martinis.
And then they would come after you as the kids?
I would hear them talking about me when I was in the other room. And I'd stand on the wall and they would say,
there's that loser kid.
He's going to be a magician. He'll never be a magician.
Gosh, that's so sad.
And then my mom would start crying. Oh, he just causes me nothing but pain. And then we'd go,
Lovey.
Because I want to be a magician. I was good.
I'm sorry.
Maybe it wasn't great, but I was good. All right, we got to go. Why do you keep talking?
We love you guys. Thank you for staying through our shenanigans. We really appreciate it.
We love you guys. I got to go.
God bless.
God bless. Take care.
Bye.